seated.
Well, it's Father's Day, and it's time for me to give away some candy bars. I got your attention, men? Usually it's the only time of year I get men's attention in service. I'm just kidding. So let's start off with recognizing the oldest dad here. Well, let me, I figured, sitting up here, I figured out it was probably Kerm, but Kerm, where are you? Oh. How old are you, Kerm? Anyone here older than 86? Anyone glad they're not older than 86? Kerm, happy Father's Day. All right, I want to recognize the dad with the most children. You guys probably know who that is too, right? Okay, anyone with four children or more, raise your hand. Daniel's in the nursery. How many does he have?
Four.
Anyone with five children or more, raise your hand. Kerm, you can't win twice. Too much sugar. How many with six children or more? How many children? Eight. Lord bless you. You can't even say that out loud. There you go. Is there a dad here this morning that normally does not have their son or daughter worshiping with them that have their son or daughter with them this morning? You do. One of your daughters. Well, I've seen Victoria. You just want a candy bar. They're on sale at Cub, $1.50, so go for it, buddy. No, no one here have a child with them that normally don't? Ben and Bill, what? Guptel. Are you guys aren't normally together worshiping the same Sunday? You're not? So who is that? Are you Bill? And that's Ben? Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. All right. I was going to recognize the newest grandpa because that was me until last week. There you go, Rick. Four more. Who has the most grandchildren? Six or more grandchildren? Seven? Eight? You already won. Nine? Ten? How many, Larry? 11. How many? Nine? How many? 16! Too much sugar for two. I'm sorry. How many, Kerm? How many? 15. How about back? 15 and 2. Great grandchildren. I was doing great grandchildren next. There you go, Larry. Who has the most great grandchildren? Start with 2. 3. So we have 2 back here and 2 back there. And Kerm, you have 2? How many, Marvin? 10 great grandchildren? You're keeping quiet, brother. Don't share it with them. There won't be any left. Who are the other two great-grandpas? That's all I'm going to do. You had 2? 4? 2. And who else? Over here, 2. All right. Give all our dads a hand. Grandpas. For all you dads, there is a dad's root beer in the back for you on the way out. If you have an issue with sugar, there is a sugar-free dad's root beer. So there's only 12 of these, so if you fight over them, it doesn't make it look good on Father's Day. So if you need sugar-free, take the sugar-free one. Once all our dads have it, all the boys and non-dads and everything else, all you men can take the root beer that's left. Please, I don't drink pop, so I don't know what to do with them if you guys don't take them home. So there's like 46 regular and 12 diet. I think everyone gets the root beer before they go home today. And if you're here and, like I told Sharon to take one for Bobby, wasn't feeling well, you can do that. So, all right, I want to have just a time of prayer for all of our dads. So can we have all of our dads and granddads stand up here, please? ladies and children and everyone else, gather around some of these men and place your hands on them. Let's pray for them. Or just go ahead and hug him, Victoria. There you go. Perfect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for, first, your love for us as our Heavenly Father. We thank you for these men that you've placed in our lives. We thank you for these dads and these granddads and great-granddads. We thank you for these uncles. We thank you for these men that you've brought into our lives. Father, we know that our lives are not perfect, but yours is. But Father, we pray for us men this morning that we would be men of integrity, men of character, men who love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that men that will lovingly love our children and our families with the love that we've experienced in you. So Father, I ask your blessing on each one of these men. May today be a day that they just enjoy being a dad, enjoy being a granddad. And may all of us truly be thankful that we are your children, that we're children of the Heavenly Father. Protect these men. Give us hearts that beat with yours. Give us eyes that are glued upon you. Give us minds that are set on things that are above. Give us a life of integrity that walks uprightly with our Lord and Savior. May we not be afraid to worship openly. May we not be afraid to express our love for others openly. Most of all, make us more like our Savior today. And we thank you for this opportunity we have to be remembered and recognized today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we get into the message today, I want to share another video with you, but there's a very specific reason why I chose this for a Father's Day video. Watch closely, listen intently, and try to keep your eyes dry. Cindy?
This is slightly intimidating. Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Oh, man.
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Oh, man. Dad, what about me makes you proud?
And I have to answer that one?
Yes.
Just about everything that you do.
You're loving. You're funny. I could go on and on.
What makes me proud about you? Is you just being yourself.
I had trouble with alcohol, which is actually an intervention. Even with all the other people there, you were the real reason that I made the decision to go into the treatment center that I did, and thank you.
Thank you. You're helpful. Yeah. You forgot the funny part.
Your attention to hygiene.
Dad, I am grateful to you for choosing to stay when I was little. Why am I crying?
At the time when I'm graduating and I'm packing up and leaving, then it's really gonna hit me. And
I think about a time when if you're not around, like that would be awful. But like you're the person that would always laugh.
Dad, I'm grateful because we didn't know how long you were gonna be with us, so. We're so happy that you're still here. Dad, I'm proud of you for knowing that the most important thing was to just give your kids so much time.
I've always been impressed by you. You made it easy.
Thanks.
I miss having the chance to just check in with you. I miss your sketchbooks.
I love you.
I love you too.
You got it. We don't say it enough.
Hey.
I love you, Dad.
It doesn't compute until they're gone. So tell them now.
It's sort of weird standing so close to you.
I know we need to have Kleenex in this church sanctuary, I tell you. The reason I chose this for is the exact reason for what we're going to look at in a few minutes and talk about blessings. Throughout Scripture, we see that blessing, the blessing of a father to their children, is huge. The one line, a lot of lines got me, but the biggest line, sort of we laughed at it, sort of strange standing this close to you. But think about this. When you have that child in your arms, you're just staring at that child. You can't get the child close enough. You look in the eyes and you just want to stare at your child or your grandchild. The love is crazy. I'm being reintroduced to that with this grandbaby that we can't wait to get down to Sioux Falls to see next Friday. It's been a month, my goodness. But you know how often we miss out now just looking at our child, at our grand, just look in their eyes and speak into their life. Bless them and just love them. Our youngest, who will remain nameless, had this little issue growing up. Whenever I needed to get our boys' attention about something serious, I'll use Michelle here, for example. I'd say, look into my eyes. I'd get nose to nose, look, I'm not going to do that to you. Look into my eyes, okay? And the oldest one, it worked really well. He'd look at me in the eyes like, okay, I am in deep weeds. Or not always that way, just something I wanted to speak into them. But the youngest would go like this. And he didn't get motion sick trying to follow his eyes. But you know, there's this part that we as men, we as fathers, need to look into the eyes of our children, look into the eyes of our grandchildren, look into the eyes of our family members, and just bless them with the words that we have been blessed with. Sometimes it's hard to figure out how to speak a blessing into someone else's life. We'll find in a few moments, if I ever make my way up there to get into my notes, that all blessings aren't always positive. There are some blessings that aren't good because that's just the situation with that individual child. But most of the blessings that we as parents, as we as men can give to our children, to our wife, to our family, are blessings that we can speak into them from the Father that has spoken them into us as we look into their eyes and speak that blessing. Have your Bibles open at Genesis 49. We'll get there eventually. Dallas Willard said, you can bless someone when you will their good under the invocation of God. You invoke God on their behalf to support the good that you will for them. This is the nature of a blessing. It is what we are to receive from God and then give to someone else. A blessing is what we receive from God and pass on, invocate, give to somebody else. The interesting thing is that, let me get my thing here, make sure this is working. It's on, and I hit forward. Ha, oh, too many. Could you take me to the first one, Cindy? Thank you. With me standing here, can you guys even see that? No. How about now? Better? How about if I get out of the way? Blessings are an act of declaring God's favor and goodness upon another person. The word blessing in the Greek is eulogy. What's a eulogy? Pardon me? A blessing. Yeah, you guys are listening. Thank you. When do you often hear a eulogy? Funeral. That's great, but I think it's a little too late. A eulogy is the meaning behind it, is to speak well of someone. That's why they're very common at funeral services. But I want to challenge us this morning that we speak well of people while we still have them in our life. That we bless them while they're still with us and a part of our life. Blessings are more than just good words. Blessings are filled with power and purpose when given in the presence of God. Blessings, patriarchs of the Old Testament spoke blessings upon their children. Many times just before their death, as we will read a little bit later in Genesis 49, when Jacob spoke blessings upon all of his children. But you also have to remember that even blessings spoken by mistake, once given, cannot be taken back, as when Jacob stole Esau's blessing. You can read about that in Genesis 27. Leaders also spoke blessings over people, especially before leaving them. Moses blessed the people of Israel before his death in Deuteronomy 33. Joshua blessed the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh when he went home in Joshua 22. And just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he lifted up his hands to heaven and blessed his disciples, Luke 24 and verse 50. We can speak blessings over one another by the way we treat each other. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." And Abram was a man of faith who listened to God, left his homeland. And the blessings that we have today, all the families of the earth are blessed through him. We are blessed. We can speak blessings to God through songs of praise. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Deuteronomy 8:10. Notice, this is a little aside for your think tanks here. Today, we always say a blessing before we eat food, don't we? Most people say grace, ask, give thanks to the Lord before we eat. In the Old Testament, they ate, and then they blessed the Lord for what they ate. And I often think it's because they're thankful they're still alive afterwards. Thank you. The food was good. I'm living. Now we bless you for this food. Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." We can speak blessings to our Father God through our words, through songs of praise, through reading scripture back to him. I like this one, though. God speaks blessings over us. God blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Genesis 1:22 and verse 28. And we saw some fruitful families here. That's good. It's a blessing. Children are a blessing from the Lord. He speaks blessings over us. God's greatest blessings are when he turned us from our sin and willingly forgave us our sins. You are the children of those prophets, and you included in the covenant God promised to you through his ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to the people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. Acts chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, blessed are those whose sins have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is that a blessing? To know that our sin is gone the moment we place our faith in his one and only Son? We are blessed. We are blessed. 3 or 4 years ago, on Father's Day, in a previous ministry, obviously because I wasn't here 3 or 4 years ago, I don't even know which, if it was St. Paul, if it was Pennsylvania, but it doesn't matter where I was at. It was in the past. A man came up to me and said, Pastor, on Mother's Day, your messages are so encouraging and so great for moms. On Father's Day, you're always hard on us. Ooh. And so I decided that was the last year I'm going to give one of those messages that says, Dad, you got to do this. Dad, you're not doing this. Dad, pick up the ball here. And understand, Dad, first and foremost, if you're a child of God, you are blessed beyond your wildest imagination. And I want to encourage and help you to learn how to bless those in your life. You're blessed. I'm blessed. One of the most moving stories I found in Scripture, and this is where we're going to get to Genesis 49, of blessing comes from the life of Jacob before his death. Jacob, before he dies, he gathers his children, his sons around him, and speaks blessings over them and into their lives. Follow along with me as I read. I'm going to read all 28 verses here, chapter 49, verses 1 through 28. When Jacob called together all his sons and says, gather around me and I will tell you what will happen to each of you in the days to come. Let's stop right there. You get your children around you and you say, hey, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen to you in the future. I don't know, if I was a kid, my stomach would start rumbling. Well, what does this mean? Am I in trouble? And you'll hear through this passage that they weren't all positive things, but listen to this blessing he spoke. Come and listen, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, the child of my vigorous youth. You are first in rank and first in power, but you are unruly as a flood, and you will be first no longer, for you went to bed with my wife. You defiled my marriage couch. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi are two of a kind. Their weapons are instruments of violence. May I never join in their meetings. May I never be a party to their plans. For in their anger they murdered men, and they crippled oxen just for sport. A curse on their anger, for it is fierce. A curse on their wrath, for it is cruel. I will scatter them among the descendants of Jacob. I will disperse them throughout Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp the enemies by the neck. All your relatives will bow before you. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dare to arouse him? The scepter will not part from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants until the coming of the one whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. Stop right there. Who's Jacob talking about here in verses 9 and 10? Jesus. Verse 11, he ties his foal to a grapevine, the colt of his donkey to the wise vine. He washes his clothes with wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. Verse 13, Zebulun, you settled by the seashore, and you will be a harbor for ships. His border will extend to Sidon. Issachar is a sturdy donkey resting between two saddle packs. When he sees how good the countryside is and how pleasant the land, he will bend his shoulder to the load and submit himself to hard labor. Dan will govern his people like the other tribe of Israel. Dan will be a snake beside the road, a poisonous viper along the path that bites the horse's hoofs so its riders are thrown off. I trust in you for salvation, O Lord. Gad will be attacked by bands, and will attack them when they retreat. Asher will dine on rich foods and produce good fit for kings. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey, the foal of a wild donkey at spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attack him savagely. They shot him and harassed him, but his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel. May the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of heaven above and blessing of the watery depths below and blessings of the beasts of the womb. May my fatherly blessing on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is the prince among his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, devouring his enemies in the morning and dividing the plunder in the evening. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father has told his sons goodbye. He blessed each one with an appropriate message. The first thing this tells me about Jacob, he knew his children. To give a blessing, you've got to know the person you're blessing, especially when it comes to your children. He spoke into them. Not all of these sons appreciated what he had to say, yet they were the words of blessing for his life that God gave Jacob to speak over his children. Jacob blessed each one with an appropriate blessing. There were honest words that proclaimed both God's blessing and, in some cases, God's discipline. As a father today, we ought to know our children so well that as we look them in their eyes and place our hands upon them and speak blessing into them, that even those tough things in their life, we can speak into them and allow the Spirit to help gather those rough areas and bring them in compliance with the living Christ. I believe we have that authority over those that we bless as the Spirit of God reveals those blessings for those people in our lives. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of our Savior who died, rose again, ascended, and is coming again, a life can be changed from its error and the way it's been going. And guess what, dads? Guess what, men? We can be a part of that by speaking in to the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our wife, our families. Blessings go so far beyond words or prayers. This is why I don't use PowerPoint. I get lost. I told Brennan this morning, I'm using PowerPoint, I'm going to be tied to my notes. I'm not going to know where I'm at, and it's proven itself to be true. So, that's the one I need. Thanks, Cindy. Blessings go far beyond words and or prayers. Blessings encompass all that a man is and touches all that a child will become. Think about that just for a moment. As a man who knows Christ personally, you've become a new creation through Jesus Christ your Lord. We're new. We're no longer who we used to be. The old man is gone. The new man has come. Now we may wrestle, yes. But that wrestling with the old man ought to be coming less and less each day the closer we walk in the fullness of the Spirit. But these blessings that we speak go beyond our prayers for our children. It encompasses all that we've become in Christ and touches all that that child will become. It's powerful. It's a powerful thing. When a father lives a consistent life of faith, his words of blessings become an enormous truth over a child's future. Well, maybe you think, Pastor, I've goofed up so much, it doesn't matter. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. None of us are perfect. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We come in our need, our brokenness, and we can be made whole and set free from those areas and be made and found complete in Christ Jesus. You can start again and live consistent from this day forward. I'll tell you, those loved ones in your life will know it. They'll say, something's happened to my dad. Something's happened to my husband. Something's happened to my granddad. There's been a change because they've come to the cross and they've started fresh again. Start fresh. When we bless our children, it will do more than just impact their lives, church. It dramatically changes ours as well. When you speak blessings over your children, they become unmeasurable rivers of joy flowing deeply into every part of your being. Because I can't tell you one person that doesn't want to see someone else be blessed. We want that. And that one in the video, the dad and the son, I'm proud of you for your hygiene. Okay. That dad knows his son. That's a blessing. It can come down to those little things or those huge things. Speak those over your children. Because you know what? If there was a blessing I needed to go over my boys, and I say, hey, I'm proud of you for your hygiene, I'm thinking, I would be just as blessed because I go, my boy walks around smelling clean. That's how this works. The blessing comes back to us as well as we bless our children. When you speak Holy Spirit giving blessings over your children, you will release within them what the world cannot, and you bless them with the presence of God and His will. There were two blessings, and they still are, that are more than a prayer, but that I've blessed my children with. One of them is that they always remain solid on the rock of their salvation. I want them to be firmly planted upon the rock of their salvation. I bless them that they remain strong and planted firmly. Secondly, I bless them that they would always bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Those blessings that are coming right from God's word, we can pour out on our children. Blessings without spending time. Now, one of those children said, thank you for spending time. That's a blessing. Blessing without spending time with your children, no matter how old they are, is as empty as a blessing that we find in James chapter 2. Listen to these words. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? A blessing without time doesn't equal a blessing. It's like James said, hey, you're hungry, eat well tonight and you leave. You're cold, oh, stay warm and you leave. No. Blessings and time go hand in hand. The more time you spend with your children, your family, the more you know what blessings you want to bless them with. You know them. You know their hearts. You know their rough areas. You know those. You know them. Then you can bless them. Blessings by themselves, if not accompanied by a personal investment and prayerful guidance, are dead. When I have a blessing to speak over my children or my wife or in a leadership role, I don't feel like I've ever come up with them. It's something God has put in my heart to bless them with. Usually always aligned with what God's word is teaching, the promises of God's word and who he is. So the more you know the word of God, the more you're experiencing the spirit-filled life, the more you know those children, your family, those that you're in leadership over, the more ability you have to take that and bless that person according to the living word of God. And it's not from you, it's not from me, it's from him, but you're the conduit that's taking place in their life. Dad, it doesn't matter how old your children are, you can still bless them and be present examples of Jesus. Your blessings pour out divine favor on your children, which flows back to you. There's no greater joy than to see a child grow in relationship with Jesus. Now that's a blessing. That's a blessing. When our children receive from us spiritual nourishment, they will grow into mature and fruitful members of the body of Christ that will multiply their father's blessings in the lives of others. Let me just take that and unpack it a little bit for you. I've shared with you, I was not raised in a Christian home. I came to faith in high school. My parents, my mom came to faith, but there was really no grounding. When we left the Catholic Church, we got ostracized from our extended family. My mom's mom and dad couldn't let that last very long, so they started coming around, but it was a different type of relationship then. My dad's parents, that was 76. I didn't even have a conversation with my dad's parents until 1996. You see, when we are products of brokenness, if we don't choose to end that cycle, we pass on brokenness. Hurt people hurt people. At some point in my life, I realized that God had a new line for me to follow. We raised our children in a home that believed that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, that this is the living Word of God that which we use for our light to our path, that a relationship with Jesus is first and foremost, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pour that in. We started a new line within the Hercula family. Not just believers, but when God's call came, we obediently followed that call to serve him with our lives. Now I have two boys who are both in ministry. That's a blessing. You can take brokenness and carry it, or you can take brokenness to the cross and begin fresh with Jesus. You can take hurt and carry it and become bitter, or you can take hurt to the cross and start again with Jesus. And start a new generation. Start a new line with your family that's going to be a line that follows the word of God who is committed to Jesus Christ. You know what the blessing is going to be? Not just my children who have committed their lives to Christ, but they sought out godly women in their lives, one who's married to one who's dating, who both love the Lord Jesus Christ more than their spouse or boyfriend. And now the next generation is going to be raised in a God-fearing, Bible-believing family, and Elliot one day is going to place his faith in Jesus. And if God's call comes onto Elliot to serve his Lord and Savior full-time, his parents are going to say, yes, do it, follow it, and with all your heart. It goes on. You pass it on. And it could start right today. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life or journey. Just start it. Start today. Start that new trajectory to have a family that's following Jesus Christ and maturing. And you know what? The blessing comes back. The blessing comes back when you follow what he has for you. Although Jacob's deathbed blessing of his sons was bittersweet, his influence in their lives is found throughout the rest of Scripture. And the same can be true for us. Us dads, the generations to come will be shaped by godly dads who bless the children and who bless others in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to share a story. How many of you guys know Melissa McDonald? She's the Christian Children's Discipleship Director for the Alliance. How many of you heard of her? You may not know her, but you heard of her. Well, last year, she was speaking at a camp. I don't remember where it was at now. But she shared a story that I want to share with you. Melissa said about this story, this is the word she shares. She says, I started doing, this isn't Melissa, this is the girl speaking to Melissa. The girl said to Melissa, I started doing marijuana with my cousins when I was 7. On the reservation, everyone did drugs. It's different there. I would deliver drugs to my aunt, but I didn't know the package was drugs. I just thought she wanted to see me, but no. I've been in about 200 foster homes. The parent I'm closest to is my dad, but now he's in prison for life and doesn't want me. My mom is in prison too, and she doesn't want me either. At age 10, I started doing hardcore drugs. I didn't know it wasn't okay. I didn't know it could harm you. Then I started going to church and was told God loved me no matter what. And my backstory didn't change God's love. I was sent here to camp as a punishment, and it worked. I hate my foster parents that they were right. I started a relationship with Jesus last night. I feel happy. I feel different. I want to do good things now. Melissa writes, this 12-year-old broke me. As she told me her story, puddles started to form on the floor. The girl said, my favorite word is Emmanuel, because it means God's always with me, always. She's been clean from drugs now and cutting for 2 months. God is doing a new thing in her life. Melissa said, all I could do is I could grab this little one's face, look her in the eyes, and bless her. Not because it was comfortable or easy, but because God told me to do it. And this is what she said to this girl. I bless you for your bravery. I bless you for sharing your story. May you know deep in your soul that you are loved and never alone. May you never forget that God has redeemed you and called you by name. I bless you as you begin to see God weave beauty out of your messy story. You are worthwhile, and you are loved. And then she went inside, and Miss Mel had a very messy breakdown. You see, it doesn't just have to be our children. It can be anyone God brings into your life. God will use you to speak those blessings into your life. Dad, look into the eyes of your children. Place your hands on them and bless them with the blessings of God and his will for their lives. Dad, if your children are grown and out of the house, pray God's blessing over them. And when you see them, look in their eyes, place your hands upon them, and bless them with the blessings of God and his will for their life. Grandfathers, gather your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Look them in the eyes. Place your hands upon them and bless them with the blessings of God and His will for their lives. Husbands, look in the eyes of your wife. Place your hands on her and bless her with the blessings of God and His will for their life. Leaders, look into the eyes of those you lead. Place your hands on them and bless them with the blessings of God and His will for their lives. A blessing is a whole lot more than what we say before dinner. A blessing is a whole lot more than saying when someone sneezes, God bless you. A blessing that the Lord has placed in your heart for somebody else has power behind it. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in it. And we're just going to close differently than I planned to close, Andrew. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to have all of you stand. And I can't touch all of you, but I want to pray a blessing over you today before we leave. We'll do, don't worry, some of you are already thinking you forgot it, you forgot the offering. Nope. Nope. So if you, maybe if you feel led to, just lift your hands like this or bow your head, whatever you may do, but I want to pray this blessing over you this morning. My dear brother and sister in Christ, I love you. You are special. You are a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to be your pastor. I bless you with the healing of all your wounds that you have suffered. I bless you with overflowing peace, the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give, a peace beyond comprehension. I bless your life with fruitfulness, good fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. I bless you with a long life. You are a leader and not a follower. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with overflowing prosperity, enabling you to be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You are a tree planted by rivers of living water. You will prosper in all your ways. I bless you with a depth of spiritual understanding, a close walk with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You will not stumble or falter, for the Word of God will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in life. You have favor with God and man. I bless you with abounding love. You will minister God's comforting grace to others. You are blessed, my child. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you peace. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. I pray that you receive that blessing. That's my blessing and prayer for you, and that it be true according to His will for your life. You may be seated. You guys can come up for the offertory. Does that work out all right? What does a printed piece of paper with an order on it mean? I have no idea. A few announcements real quickly. If you missed out on last Sunday's bonfire, you missed out on a great first one. We We had over 50 people. It was wonderful. We did not move the fire inside, but we sat in a circle around a table of all kinds of good food. So it was good. Good fellowship. Man, we'll wait. We'll take an offering in just a minute if I could pray for that. And they're so anxious to get this offering in, I tell you. Hey, let's do that. Father, thank you that we can be a blessing to others through our faithfulness and our stewardship with all you've given to us. So let us give joyfully and worshipfully unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab that offering now. Let me do. This is going to go down in history books. The offering at Crossroads. I just know it. A few other announcements before we sing a song and we'll be dismissed. So our next bonfire is next Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. Bring a dish to share. Pray that we can stay outside. Bring a chair to sit on. Join with your church family. It'll be a great time. Also, just so you have it planning, we're going to have an all-church prayer time July 2nd, 6 o'clock in here. I'm not feeding you that night, so eat before you come. We'll have a prayer service together, and we'll feast on the Word of God. The ladies' room, I think, is just about done. If you see Sock Whitney's and you see the Schultz, and thank them for all their hard work they're doing in getting that ladies' room renovated. Hey, next Sunday we're going to have a special guest with us. I hear that some of you guys have gone to Cambodia on short-term mission trips. Is that true? How many have gone? How many of you remember Suit and Sina? Well, I met them at council in an indirect way. They were sharing, and I said, oh, what a wonderful couple. What a great story. Then Sue popped her in my office a week or so ago and said, Sue and Sina are going to be with us, staying at our place. I go, really? So they're going to share next week with us about their ministry in Cambodia. They're going back. And they're actually going to a new location in Cambodia, so I've invited them to take time next Sunday and share with us, so be sure not to miss out on that. Those are all the announcements. Thank you. Discipleship meeting next Sunday. If those of you that made a decision last week to disciple somebody else, I want to get started, because when the Spirit of God is freshly moving your hearts and you make a decision, if we just wait on it, we'll never get to it. So we'll get started with just a brief meeting, give you some tools and resources, give you some direction, and help you guys get started. We'll meet in my office next Sunday after church. Did I miss anything else, Cindy? It's good to have help to get through a day, isn't it? Let's stand together, let's join our voices together, and let's just sing a song as we prepare to go out.